Let your roots grow down where? Into Him. Not emotion, Him. And let your lives be built on Him. What'll happen? Then your faith will grow strong in the truth.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, Rootless. Stay tuned as we conclude this chapter on the series called, The Story of the Sower. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
No one could teach profound spiritual truth so simply that the simplest among us could understand it than Jesus could. And the parable of the sower our current series is focused on is one of the best examples. It consists of a seed, a sower, and a soil. The seed is God's Word, the sower is Jesus and His church, and the soil represents the heart of man. In this incredible parable, Jesus lays out four possible outcomes for the seed of the Word sown into the heart. Today we're going to be talking about the rootless seed, the person who initially receives God's Word, but when persecution or trouble appear because of the Word, this person falls away. Well, I don't want to give it all away, so grab your Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, Rootless, from the series, The Story of the Sower. But what we want to be oak trees, tall, strong, with deep, deep roots. So let's talk about the rocky soil. I've seen this kind of heart a million times. I've been preaching a long time. I started preaching when I was 18, 19, early 19. So I started preaching when I was a teenager. And now that I'm 35, let me tell you, it's been a real journey. Just want to be sure you're still with me. Time flies when you're having fun, and I love what I do. Now, I want you to notice the shallow, rocky soil is the person that receives the word with joy. This person is excited they just got saved. They're excited. They accept Christ and experience the joy of salvation. So how in the world do they end up being plucked up and falling away in a time of trial? Why are they so easily moved later? Here's why. They don't grow in the things of God, because their commitment and their understanding of the word is shallow, and obstructions to growth remain in their life. They go to the altar. I've seen it a lot, more times than I can count. They make a hasty emotional decision. Oh, I want to get saved. I want to get saved. But then they stop there. They don't take time to consider the importance of getting into the word, of attending church regularly, not when you feel like it, regularly. Let me tell you something. I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. Those of you that are watching by video that could have been here, let me talk to you just for a second. Do you know that the times you least feel like coming to church are the times you most need to come? Anyway, their profession of faith really is. These kind of people that are blown around like this, like I said, it's a mile wide, it's an inch deep. They don't understand the importance of changing and hanging with Christian friends. They keep the rocks and the pebbles of the wrong kind of friends in their life. There's all kinds of things that they don't take the trouble to do. The message of Jesus here is, when you realize that He died for you, rose from the dead, filled you with the Holy Ghost, got a purpose on your life, that we are to put our hands to the plow and apply our lives to growing spiritually, to cultivating holy habits, if I might call it that. Holy habits. It's a holy habit to get in the Word every day. It's a holy habit to pray every day. It's a holy habit to go to church when church is happening. It's a holy habit. It's holy habits that grow us. Amen. We're always hearing about bad habits. Let's talk about a few good ones. I crave the Word of God. I've got to have a fix every day. because I crave the Word of God. I love the Word of God. It is like honey going down into my soul. It is so sweet to my spiritual palate. I love the Word of God. But listen, that's because I've created a holy habit. Habits are created the same way, whether they're bad or good. You remember when you started smoking? Some of you. First hit you took off a cigarette, it felt like somebody dropped an anvil down into your lungs, and you choked and you sputtered, but you persevered. Until finally it felt normal. What was not normal began to feel normal. You created a habit. Listen, when you get up and get with God in the morning, at first it may not feel right. It may feel like a hassle, a hindrance, an inconvenience. It'll go against your flesh, but after a while it'll feel oh so right, and you got to have it. You got to have it. But see, this doesn't happen with the shallow soil. And now I got to thinking, all right, if Jesus is talking about the shallow soil, I understood the hard ground, because it says that person never understands what they heard because they don't pay any attention to it really. But what about the shallow soil? How does it develop? How does it come about? How does one person grow with deep roots and they make it and go the long haul? But how does another person have only shallow soil where the roots never go down and any little thing knocks them off the saddle? What causes it? What creates it? And I found three things in the Bible. And let me share them with you. First, a person can have this shallow soil or shallow faith because they put faith in a church rather than God. Put another way, they put faith in something that can let them down rather than putting faith in the one who can never let you down. They put faith in an institution, a religious institution, more than the God who gave it. Their faith is in people. There are people whose faith is placed in the shallow, rocky soil of the social life of a church, more than in Christ himself. I asked a guy one time, seriously, I said, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Have you accepted Christ? He said, oh, I've been a Baptist all my life. I said, wait a minute, that's not what I asked you. I asked you if you were a Christian. But to him, being a Baptist meant that he was a Christian, but that's faulty thinking. Because sitting in a garage doesn't make you a car. Sitting in church doesn't make you saved. We got to understand that we've got to come to him ourselves and have an experience with the living God ourselves. But there's people who get lost. They assume because they're involved in the social life of a church that they're saved. And that's what they fellowship with more than him. A person like that, the Baptist, he's going to be in real trouble if the Baptist church in his town ever goes down because his faith is in that church. And see, we put our faith in people. Let me tell you a story. When I was young in the ministry, I was a college and career director. We would say it, awakening, young adults. And I had 500 coming to church. It was a huge church. It experienced a mighty move of God. This church went from 800 to over 4,000 in a few months. And I got to be the college and career director, and I loved it because I love that age group. I loved it. And I'm ministering to them, and the ministry is exploding, and I'm excited. And so one day, the youth pastor who was over that took me aside and said, Jeff, you need to move closer to the church. Now, I'll tell you, I was living in Richardson, and the church was way in Oak Cliff. I was driving almost an hour one way to church, but I decided a church alive is worth the drive. So I was going almost an hour all the way to church, and he said, you need to move closer to the church. And he said, if you move closer to the church, we'll take care of you. I said, hallelujah. It was like the hallelujah chorus, and I said, you got it. And so I packed up all my stuff, which was about a sack full. And I moved, and I got this little duplex and was all excited. Wow, the church is going to take care of me because this ministry is exploding. This college and career group is doing great, and now I'm going to be taken care of, and I can be in full-time ministry. And I got there, and they didn't give me a nickel. The youth pastor. Not a nickel. I had to call my mother one day And she had to drive all the way to Oak Cliff to bring me a $10 bill so I could eat. I had a choice. Now listen carefully to me. I'm telling you something. The shallow faith, the shallow heart experiences something like that, and their faith is in people. They are focused on people. And when people don't come through, they hang it up and walk away. But here, I had a choice. I got this ministry coming up under me. I'm reaching all these kids for God. But this happened to me, and this youth pastor saw me every week and didn't say one word, knew that I moved and didn't say one word. I had a choice. Am I going to get offended, pick up my marbles and go home? Or am I going to trust God to take care of me? And I'm not looking at a man, I'm looking at him. I'm not looking at a man, I'm looking at him. I am not going to be plucked up and fall away because a church system failed me. And I made up my mind. The Lord gave me this ministry. Yes, that person fell through, but God will take care of me, and God did take care of me. I was never late on a bill, never one time. God took care of me, and I stayed with that ministry and ministered to hundreds of young people for years. Folks, we got to get to the place where when people let us down, we get over it. Come on, get over it. Because if it's people, they're going to let you down sometimes. Church leadership is going to let you down. The same sun that melts butter hardens clay. Let me tell you what I mean by that. There are some people who melt into the arms of God and trust him when they go through trouble and fire and trials and testing. But there are other people who grow hard against God. The same sun that melts that butter will harden that clay. It depends on what they're made of. And see, we've got to get to the place where we melt towards God. We melt in the arms of God. We break toward God when people let us down. The person with this shallow, rocky soil, they are blown back and forth by what people do all the time. We got to get to the place where we are not moved. We can say with David, I shall not be moved. Keep your eye on the bouncing ball. The bouncing ball is not people. The bouncing ball is the purpose of God for you. I'm talking to somebody today. Amen. Preach it, Pastor John. I'm going to get this CD. But this person, this shallow soil is the one whose faith is placed in things that can easily fail you. And people always will, and institutions always will. But there is one who won't. The person with a deeply rooted faith in God and his promises will stand firm and not falter no matter what. Lord, if I was knocked off the saddle with every offense that came my way, I would have quit pastoring a long time ago. But I perform for an audience of one. I said, how'd I do, Jesus? You did good, son. That's all I need to hear. I don't care what people around me say. That's all I need to hear. You did good. I'm proud of you. I'm with you. I love you. That's all I need to hear. And you too. Amen? So wrongly placed faith in things that can let you down is one of the causes of shallow soil that doesn't survive the tests of life. There's a second way a shallow faith can develop. It's when your faith is built on emotions and not the word. Now let me go where angels fear to tread, because I love emotions. I've already had an emotional experience 3 times. If you can sing today, if you can sing that 3rd song and not get emotional, I'm praying for you. Because you can't be moved. What a great song. I had an emotional experience with that song. But you know what? My faith is not built on my emotional experiences. There are people who literally live for spiritual emotional highs. They're always searching for the next goosebump, the newest move of God, the latest charismatic trend, revival, miracle worker, or experience. They run here, run there, thither, hither, and yon. It's great to fly high on the wings of a revival, but you're going to have to land one day. And when you land, that's when you've got to build your life around the word of God, not emotions. Because emotions come and emotions go. They rise and they fall based on what's happening around you. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Somebody said, a sudden enthusiasm can quickly become a dying fire. I've seen that so often. Somebody that's quickly lit is quickly unlit. Our faith is to be on the promises of Scripture. Listen to Paul. This is such an incredible verse. We put it up there. I want you to look at it. We're going to really let this sink in. Here's Paul. You want to know how to grow spiritually? You want to know how to put your roots down? Here's what you do. He said, let your roots grow down. Where, everybody? Say it with me. Into Him. Not emotion. Him. And let your lives be what? Built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. I'm going to say it one more time. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you've been taught. You'll no longer be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and the cunning craftiness of men. The problem with building your faith around emotions is if you're emotional and you're emotion-driven, the same emotions that take you high can take you low, and you're always on a roller coaster. You're always doing like this. And I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and I hated it. You're always like this. How you feel today? Well, today I feel, and I would say either really way up here or way down here. And somebody that's always like this has got to get established in the Word of God, because my faith is not based on how I feel. Some people wake up, they feel saved. They say, I'm saved. Why? Because I feel it. Then they wake up feeling like, well, maybe I'm lost. Why? Because I kind of feel lost. No, my faith is based on the promises of the Word of God. The promises of the Word of God. Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine. Now, this is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached. And he's tagging a close on it. After three chapters, he's closing it now. And he says, now, I've given you three chapters worth. I've given you all these teachings, all these sayings. Now listen, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his, come on, house, which is your life, on a rock. A rock. What's the rock? Is it your emotions? No. What's the rock? It's his teachings and him. You build your house on the rock of his teaching. You build your life around his word, not the way you feel. Not the way you feel. Jesus said, storms are going to come. And he said, the rain will fall, the floods will come, the wind will blow, and they will beat on that house. That's such a strong word. It's a boxer's term, that they will beat. These storms will beat on you. Where is God? How did he let this happen? Where is he now? How'd you end up like this? How did he leave you like this? What are you going to do now? Bang, bang, pummel, beat, punch. We've got a boxer in our church, former Golden Gloves. He said, Pastor, when you do the boxing thing, you're standing all wrong. I know. I know. But you get the idea. The storms punch you. Punch you. But look what he said. If your house is built on his sayings, his teachings, and on him, it fell not, for it was built on a rock. Amen. The person who builds their life on Jesus' teachings is the one that survives. Nothing knocks this person down. Nothing knocks this person out. I just know hell sits down there with some of these people. I thought they were down. No, they're back up. I thought we shut them up. No, they're talking again. I thought we had them down for the count. No, they're up. Well, what got them back up, says the devil? Well, they were listening to you-know-who's teachings. And they built their life around you-know-who. So they keep getting back up. Like that Bozo the Clown you had when you were a kid, you'd punch him, and he'd bounce right back up. That ought to be you. It ought to be me. One final way a shallow faith can develop, not only a wrongly placed faith in things that can fail you, or emotion-driven Christianity, but also a faith unprepared for suffering. That's another thing I found in the Word. A faith unprepared. And Jesus told us this in the parable itself. He said, let me tell you why this person bites the dust and doesn't make it in the long haul. Let me tell you why. He said, when tribulation or persecution arise, notice why? Because of the word. Because of the word in your heart. Because you're standing for Jesus, witnessing for Jesus, walking with Jesus. Those that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's a guarantee. It's a promise. Let me give you a promise Jesus gave us. And I know you're not going to jump up and shout for sure, but this is something he told us we could count on. Everyone will hate you. Everybody say, praise God. He said, everybody's going to hate you. Well, that makes me want to join up. But that's what he said. Everyone will hate you. Why? Because of your allegiance to me. But those who endure to the end, the marathon runners, the ones with deep roots, will be saved. Early on in my Christian walk, I got persecuted pretty good. My family persecuted me from the start. Nobody in my family rejoiced when I got saved. You know, I came out of the drug culture. You would think they would have jumped up and shouted and got saved on the spot if I came out of drugs to Jesus. But to them, it was almost just as bad, because when I came in, I just talked about Jesus. And they rejected me. I had members of my family that would get up and stomp out of the room as soon as I started talking about Jesus. Stomp out and slam doors. And in school, in college, I had an entire class one day turn on me and persecute me for talking about Jesus. And that day was the hardest day, because all of them did it. The whole class turned on me and persecuted me for talking about Jesus. I was taking a bus back and forth to college, and I went and got on my bus, and as it's taking me to my bus stop, I am crestfallen. I'm going, Lord, all I did was talk about you. I thought that they would have inquiring minds being in college. No, they had closed minds being in college. And Lord, I don't know what to do. My whole class rejected me. How can I ever go back to that class? What am I going to do? I'm a nice guy. And Jesus said to me in the bus, in my heart, he said, Jeff, remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Can I read that again? If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they'll obey yours also. And that day on the bus, I had to have been maybe 22-ish. I received that word into my wounded heart, and I soldiered on. And I can tell you today, I don't care what people think now. I don't care. I'm on the radio all over America. I don't care. I mean, do I like being rejected by people? No, I don't like it. But listen, if it's because of the word in my life, I'm okay with it. Because if they rejected me, they rejected him. If they loved him, they would love me. If they received him, they would receive me. So it's really not about me, it's about him. Amen. So I'll listen carefully. Faith in a church or in something that can fail you, or faith in emotions, or faith that refuses to suffer, is the shallow faith that will be uprooted. How do you get the deep roots? How do you get them? We're going to read this verse together one more time. It's such a beautiful verse. We're going to read it out loud, because here's the fix. Here's the answer. Here's how you deal with it. Let's read it. Let your roots grow down where? Into him. Not emotion, him. And let your lives be built on him. What'll happen? Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted Life Talk listener. So go to lifetalkradio.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for another exciting message entitled Fruitless in this sermon series called The Story of the Sower. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.